This episode of the Lou Rockwell Show is sponsored by...
Does civil disobedience really get you excited? Go to freestateproject.org, get signed up, move to New Hampshire, get involved with the next wave of liberty activism, and be the next Rosa Parks. The Free State Project is your best chance for liberty in your lifetime. freestateproject.org.
This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
Let's talk to someone who's been tilting at windmills for years. That's one way of looking at Lou Rockwell's career, I think. Lou, if you're a libertarian, if you're inclined toward libertarianism, you know about lourockwell.com, which is his website, something that I visit every day, and you should, too, if you're interested in freedom. Lou, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Great to be with you, Ron, and I like your description of my career, if we can think of the state as a windmill. In other words, I'm totally out of date, useless, and get rid of it.
Well, that's true, but you've been tilting at it for a long time.
Well,
like
I have
Don Quixote. And, you know, it's an interesting thing because your association with Ron Paul is well known. You used to be his congressional chief of staff years ago, and you were involved in his campaign for president, both when he was a Libertarian candidate and when he was a candidate for the Republican nomination. And now Ron Paul, his time in a sense seems to have come in that people are finally paying attention to him, especially young Americans. Is this significant or is this just something that's going to fizzle like most libertarian things?
Ron, I think it's hugely significant. You know, and there was many great moments during the presidential campaign. But when he spoke at the University of Michigan after the Dearborn debate, where, by the way, this is in the 2007, where he was the only Republican candidate to say, oh, there's economic trouble coming, and the rest of them said, oh, well, that's ridiculous, constant prosperity thanks to Bush and Greenspan. Well, when he went out afterwards, there were 4,000 kids in the quadrangle there, which was, we were told, a huge gathering for any politician. And he started to speak, and everybody's applauding him and so forth. But when he started talking about monetary policy, a group of kids in the crowd started chanting, end the Fed. End the Fed. Mm. And the whole crowd took it up, and some of these kids started lighting dollar bills and held them up as if to say, here's to you, Mr. Greenspan and Bernanke. But, so, you know, I think it's there's something going on.
But nothing
quite wonderful.
None of it translated into votes. He underperformed in the Republican primaries, which was very disappointing to me. I voted for Ron Paul, as you might have suspected. And, you know, it was just a disappointing showing. It was as though... Here, I'm going to stir this up. People are going to, you know, people are acknowledging that, you know, after time that he was right and so on and so forth, but they didn't vote for him.
Well, Ron, you know, despite my having been involved in politics, I've since gone straight, by the way. I actually don't think voting makes much of a difference, if I can be a real heretic here. Young people, for example, don't vote, and why the heck should they vote? I mean, for McCain as versus Obama, and also they didn't think there was any way Ron Paul could get the nomination. And they also, of course, all of us know when we go to vote, our vote makes no difference. You know, nothing, no elections ever decide about one vote. So one guy doesn't make a difference.
You know, my motto.
So why should you vote? Voting is a waste of time.
My motto is, if your vote counted, they wouldn't let you.
Well, of course, that's exactly right. So it's a waste of time to vote. Well, nobody should vote, but minds are being changed. Hearts are being changed. And that matters a lot more than votes.
Let's move in the brief time that we have to talk. Let's move to the economy in general, because, you know, obviously your analysis of the economy differs greatly, and the people that you publish on your blog differs greatly from what the, you know, the big shots are telling us, which is that the recession is over and, you know, we'll have a recovery. It may not be a quick one, but it's coming, so on and so forth. I don't think you believe that, do you?
You know, Ben Bernanke says the recession's over.
Yes, he did.
I think he's, you know, as Peter Schiff said, he's continuing his 100% record of always being wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's never said anything that was right, and of course he's not right now. The government always wants to lie about the economy, just like they lie about their wars, and they lie about the police state, and they lie about everything else they're doing. But I think any of us who are actually involved in worrying about a job, going shopping, talking to friends and neighbors who are worried about their jobs and about their economic futures, we know that while the stock market may be going up, things aren't better for us.
Well, I think maybe what we're seeing is a further widening of the gap between the ones who have a lot and the rest. The have-a-lots, they're doing pretty well, but
you know,
the not so much, they're not.
Well, it's interesting to go into that horrible city not too far from you and across the Potomac there in Washington. they're all doing very well. They have all mansions and fancy restaurants, mm-hmm. limos, and they dress very well, and they just are living high on the hog. Of course, the hog is the American taxpayer. They're all doing just great. But away from the government, away from the government-connected rich, things aren't. You're exactly right. In fact, by some measures, Ron Paul points this out, it's been since the middle 1970s, the average American working guy has seen an increase in his wages. I mean, if we look at inflation, we look at taxation, we look at all the various things the government does to make people's standards of living lower, the average person, really, it's been quite a long time since we've seen an advance.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, they're doing great in D.C. and Wall Street and those places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fat get fatter and the lean get leaner. It's the way it's going on right now. LouRockwell.com is a great site. I advise everyone to visit it if you're interested in freedom. Okay, if you're interested in learning what's really going on economically and in foreign policy, LouRockwell.com is indispensable. We'll talk more with Lou as we continue on the Ron Smith Radio Show, 17 minutes before 5 o'clock. Let's talk some more with Lou Rockwell of LouRockwell.com, American libertarian political commentator and longtime associate of Ron Paul and of the late Murray Rothbard. You know, one of the things that's always just amazed me about the power of the status quo is that Murray Rothbard, who was brilliant by any measure, was relegated to academic obscurity while so many of his inferiors were celebrated. Did that bother him?
You know that it did not bother him, and the same was true of Ludwig von Mises, by the way.
Was it really?
But neither one of these, I took Murray's word about this for Mises, but certainly in Murray's case, he never complained. I mean, he just did what he was always a very happy guy, an optimistic guy. He loved the fight.
Mm-hmm.
He loved teaching. He loved writing. He loved writing about the Federal Reserve or socialized medicine.
He was in a cramped office at Brooklyn College, didn't matter, or wherever it was.
You know, I suppose he would have liked to have been in a big office at Harvard,
mm-hmm.
but that just wasn't in the cards. By the way, he could have had a big office at Harvard had he been willing to be a different kind of guy. He wasn't willing to be that kind of guy. And so he was happy to be a principled man.
Yeah, he didn't trim his sails to advance.
No.
No, that was good. Let's talk about this health care, because I'm a little confused about it, to be honest with you. I know that the current system, as it's constructed and, you know, as it's expanded in cost, if you extrapolate, it's absolutely unsustainable, but extrapolations are dangerous. But I also am very suspicious about having the government take over all aspects of health care or influence them mightily. I view the present system as being one that is not good, and the proposed remedy as being one that's likely to be vastly worse. Am I wrong?
No, and the present system is about 65% government funded. So, you know, we don't really have a free market system, although you may hear some people say that. We have a market influence system. But really, ever since the early 1960s, the federal government has been calling the shots. And as a result, I know this will shock everybody hearing this, it's a mess.
Yes.
Now, so what do they propose to do? They propose to do more of the things that have made it a mess and try to turn it into a total mess.
Isn't this an analog of the world financial crisis as well, and the people who brought that to us, and how they propose to fix it by doing more of the same?
Yeah, and you know, also, just another aspect, I was listening to MSNBC this morning, I should never do that, and they were talking about how one of the things about the Obama bill would be wonderful, that all of a sudden the weight of your children, whether they're obese or not, becomes the business of the federal government, and the federal government will thereby, you know, be in charge of putting everybody on a diet. And I thought, you know, this is what it means when the government takes it all over. You know, your children are not yours, they're the government's, and the government's going to decide what the proper weight is for them and many other things. And by the way, Sarah Palin was exactly right. They do plan to have death panels, or at least panels to try to convince you to be ready to die and stop costing the government money. So this is a very rotten system, plenty of problems with the present system, but they're going to make it worse. I don't think, by the way, however, that Obama's going to get it through. I think that he's already failed.
But they'll get something through.
They're going to make it incrementally worse, as indeed every president since Eisenhower has made it worse. Mm. So he's going to make it
that's
worse.
One thing you can count on then.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, good. We have to have something we can count on.
As somebody once said, sooner or later, every president makes you nostalgic for his predecessor. So that's something you can count on, too.
You know, that's the honest-to-goodness truth, because I remember I was still, I guess, somewhat naive when George W. Bush was elected. I said, this will be an improvement on Bill Clinton. And within a few years, I was thinking, boy, those Clinton years were a lot better than I had thought at the time. Isn't that right?
I mean, yeah, no, of course, it's true. I kind of miss Bill Clinton myself.
Yeah, and you know, I thought Bush was absolutely the worst. And I don't know, Obama's making me sort of look nostalgic at the Bush years, although not really. But you understand what I mean. I'm just saying, you're right.
Bush is terrible, but Obama's making it worse.
Yeah, it's amazing what's going on. Give us some libertarian perspective on the environmentalists and the climate alarm of folks who want to further seize power and liberty wherever it rears its head, and which you're fearing for places these days. I mean, well, you know, they're in conference at the UN conference and all of this stuff, and the science is against them now, and it doesn't seem to matter. They're just going right ahead.
Well, of course, it's all just an excuse for more power, more money for the government and its special interest groups, like everything else, this whole climate change business. The government, you know, I don't want to shock anybody, the government can't actually control the climate. They can't control the planet Mars either. I mean, they can't actually do this. But what they can control is us. They can tax us. They can make us poorer. They can take away our air conditioning or, you know, anything to make us more peasants on their plantation. That's what they'd like to have. And so this is the environmental program.
And then Orwell's 1984, you know, where they had the endless war and they shifted alliances, you know, all of a sudden and so on and so forth. This was good. You know, what was it? East Asia. And the fact is that we're there now, aren't we? I mean, we've been told that we are now in what they call the long war. They said it would take generations and so on and so forth. And they're escalating in Afghanistan. I mean, what in the world is going on?
Well, if there's anything the government hates, it's peace, because they love to rile up the American people. They love to scare us. They love to make us pay more taxes and to obey them and to stop dissenting. And so they love war for this purpose. So, yeah, they want to step it up in Afghanistan. They want to step it up in Pakistan. They want to bomb Iran. They want to do, you know, murder any number of people and have a great time doing it. But it's not in the interest of us, and it's certainly not in the interest of all the poor people that they're turning into corpses.
Rahm Emanuel was interviewed by Charlie Rose, and he did a very brilliant job, you know, of explaining things. And, you know, he was very adroit, you know, tremendous. There was one thing he wouldn't touch. He said it belonged to a pay grade higher than his. You know what that was?
No.
Military action against Iran.
Yeah, well, Iran, I'm afraid, is actually one of the big proponents of that, and certainly is within the administration pushing the murder of the Iranian people. And Ron Paul was asked what he agreed with about Obama. He said, well, so far he hasn't bombed Iran. So we have to give him credit for that. And let's hope he sticks with the one good thing he's done.
Oh, Ron Paul is he's the exception to the idea that politicians will not speak the truth. He doesn't shy away from the truth as he sees it. It marked him as a kook. Now it marks him as a wise man. It's very interesting.
No, it's true. And however, to those who advocate involving ourselves in political action, I always think that one good guy in 200 years is not much of a record for the political system. But of course, Ron Paul does stand out. He is a truth teller.
Well, it's
always... people are finally giving him some attention, and
let's hope something comes out of it. I mean, liberty, a lot of people don't even understand what liberty is. We've been conditioned to view it with great suspicion. That is the whole idea of liberty, because it carries risks with it. And you know, we're taught that that's not the thing. It's government. Government's going to take care of us. They're going to take care of our parents, you know, as they get old, and they're going to take care of our kids, and they're going to guide them on the right path. They're going to indoctrinate them properly, and you should stay out of it. And, you know, it's a sad state that we've come to. Lou, it's a pleasure talking to you, as always.
Ron, so great to be with you, and thanks so much for having me on.
My pleasure, and people should visit lourockwell.com every single day. Thank you, sir.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by lourockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@lourockwell.com. And thanks for listening.